Hello world, welcome to another edition of the Colombian Catwoman podcast, aka Jeanette. Here we talk everything queer, black, female, travel and business related. Before I get into today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe, hit like and definitely hit share. So, on today's podcast, I'm going to talk about the Colombian Catwoman's experience living in the Middle East as a black queer woman. I went to Dubai as a teacher in 2014 and I was on an initial two-year contract. The thought of going to Dubai before I actually accepted the post was something that had always kind of been there in the background. It wasn't one of my top 10 countries, but it was always this other land, this land of riches where people have the opportunity to save lots of money. That's how Dubai used to be sold as a place for expats to go and live and get a better life for themselves and save some money and then go on and do something else in the world. As a teacher, the packages aren't incredible, but if you're a teacher and you're married and you've got kids, so if you're heterosexual and you've got kids, it's a fantastic opportunity. And the reason for that is you have your rent paid, your bills are paid for, and the only thing that you need to pay for additionally is, say, for example, cable, car hire or buying a car and food. But the basics are covered by your contract. And if you've got kids, so two kids would be perfect in most situations, those kids receive free education at an international private school. So if you've already got the support network, you've already got the love in place, you've already got the family in place, it's a fantastic opportunity. It's very different if you're single and heterosexual. Yep, there's a lot of partying going on, there's a lot of money flowing, there's a lot of mixing and matching. But if you're single and a lesbian, it's a whole different story. Doesn't mean that we aren't out there in abundance in the Middle East, but it's a very different experience in the way in which we live and exist for some people out there. So I thought that moving to Dubai was going to be this wicked and wonderful experience as somebody who'd lived in other countries, lived with other people, lived in shared accommodation, lived on my own, and met lots of travellers along the way. And you know, when you're traveling, you meet people, you're in a hostel. What are you doing today? What are you doing today? I'm doing this. Let's go and do something together. That's how it generally works when you're traveling. You're in the same boat with the same people for whatever the period of time is. I expected my experience to be like that. So I anticipated, but one should never have expectations, that I'm a British teacher from the UK, moving to an international school, living around or working with fellow Brits. I thought that we would have lots in common and we'd be, you know, making friendships, is that the term in English? And that we'd be spending time together, etc., etc. What I have to say is, for whatever reason, I don't feel that I was accepted into the British expat community, for good or for bad. And I don't know whether that's because I'm fat, because I'm black, because I'm older, because I'm a woman, because I was based in the MFL department. I don't know what the reasons were and what the reasons are to this day. And at the time it was quite painful. I thought, you know, I'm here with all these fellow Brits in this international school and we're all teachers, so we're all the same, aren't we? Obviously not. Obviously not. But then saying that, the friendships that I made were with great people, and some of those were in my MFL department. So big up to Lamine, who I'm still in contact with today, and we talk regularly, we're in contact regularly. And Lamine is French of Malian descent, an incredible mind, beautiful person. Big up to Redwan, who's Algerian. Very, very intelligent man, very smart man, well-traveled man. Big up to Sylvie, French Sylvie, who got married out there, and that was a whole nother story in itself. And your family, Sylvia, and big up to Sylvia in the department, the Italian teacher who adopted some children while she was out there. with her husband. So congratulations again to those guys. I'm sure your kids are maybe like 5 now or something like that, which we're getting on. Big up to Sunita from Mauritius. Salut, Sunita. Salut. And big up to lovely Steve Wellman, who had a heart of gold and would do anything for anyone. And so we had an incredible department. We had the best department in the whole of the school. There was no drama. There was no fighting. There was no kind of animosity towards anyone else. There was no bitchiness. A little bit, don't get me wrong. It wasn't, you know, utopia. However, we got along with each other and we used to break bread together. We used to laugh together. We used to celebrate birthdays together. And quite often during lunchtime, we'd be on the same lunchtime shift and we'd be in the staff room laughing down the place. And on occasion, the headmaster had to come into the staff room and tell us to keep it down, keep the noise down, because we were just too loud in the staff room. But that's how good a time we had in terms of the people that I connected with in the school. We used to share bread, share things together at lunch, and we used to run stories and run jokes. And almost forget that we had a job to do. Shit, the bell's gone. And I've been sat here for 10 minutes after the bell's gone. And my kids are waiting for me. And we're doing an assessment today. But great memories. Fantastic. I also managed to find a couple of lesbian groups out there. So one was really kind of underground, really coded. And you have to send a message to this number. And then the message goes to another number. And then you have to meet on this occasion in this particular place. That was the one group. And then the other group was a lot more relaxed. And then eventually things changed. The dynamics changed. And the kind of people from both groups formed another group. Or joined one of the original groups. And thank you to Miss Rona, to coronavirus. We were able to catch up recently and just, you know, see how we were all getting on and where we're at. So people have moved on. But they were lovely people to be around, real people. And we just did really simple things. And it wasn't pretentious, which Dubai can quite easily be. So give thanks, girls, for the times that we spent together in Dubai and hopefully the times to come as well in the future. So I didn't initially feel as though I fitted in, and that was quite painful. But then I found my people. But at the same time as finding my people, I would say that I didn't feel that I could talk about my mental health issues whilst I was in Dubai. So I'm probably going to get onto that in a moment. But what I'm going to say now is that living in Dubai and working in Dubai, I had the opportunity to travel, to save a little bit of money, and to develop myself. So I chose to do Yoga 200 Hour Teacher Training course. I've been practicing yoga for over 20 years and I'm still a bloody beginner, is where I was at before. And I said, enough of this being a beginner, Jeanette, for 20 years. That's a nonsense, that's rubbish. You can't be a beginner for 20 years. Move on, get a move on. Deepen your knowledge, get better, become more consistent. Still a battle I fight with in many different things, and it's part of life. But I chose the time to use my weekends driving to Abu Dhabi from Dubai, which was a heck of a drive, to my yoga teacher training course. That was basically for about 6 months, and that was weekends. So intense working week, and then the weekends were then developing myself, doing this physical activity and mental development as well, which was hard but very good and worthwhile. I also was able to do a swing yoga teacher training course in Dubai, so I did that with the Yoga First school. Is it Yoga First? I think it's Yoga First. Sorry, Peewee, if I can't remember the name of your school. So that's another plus that I take away from my time in Dubai. I was able to go to Thailand, to Nepal, to Vietnam. So never in my life as a child from Birmingham, my parents coming from the Caribbean and the upbringing that we had in terms of hard financial times, did I ever think I'd be going to Nepal? Did I ever think I'd be going to Vietnam? There are places that you dream of and there are places that aren't even on the radar, but Dubai allowed for those places to become a reality. I also did a huge trip, which I'll talk about in a moment. So Thailand, Nepal, India, Vietnam, Oman. I drove to Oman on my own from Dubai, which I didn't think it was going to take as long as it did, but I did it and I'm glad that I did it. Amman's a beautiful country, a lot more relaxed and just a little bit more down to earth as opposed to Dubai. Part of my mental health issue was due to the fact that I'm a lesbian living in the Middle East. So you cannot be open legally about your sexuality. That doesn't mean that people aren't. Dubai is part of the United Arab Emirates. There are 7 Emirates and Dubai is the most liberal and easygoing and the most mixed. So there are lots of people out there who are gay, lesbian and bi, not trans, who are out, who are living their lives, who are in relationships, who are publicising their images, their lifestyle, and living quite a comfortable life out there. For me, I created an absolute nightmare in my head. And at the height of it, I was spending time on my own, so I was just retracting away from the world. I didn't want to be around people. I remember being in the classroom with students, and the girls in particular had taken off their jackets, turned the jackets around, and the buttons were to the back of the body, and the back part of the jacket was to the front of the body, covering and protecting themselves from me. As a professional, it's the worst situation to be in, because you're supposed to be there creating a warm and friendly and welcoming environment where people can study and thrive and they feel comfortable. And I also couldn't talk about my problem. I also didn't feel that it was right to chastise those students for wearing their jacket in the classroom when they should have taken it off in the classroom. But they were doing that as a form of protection from my weird behaviour. It makes sense, but it made me feel like shit, and it still makes me feel like shit. Being a professional and having qualifications doesn't mean that you don't have mental health issues. They're not the same. You know, you can be qualified up to the hill, but doesn't mean you don't have problems. So it's a hard one, because you're supposed to be a professional and able to manage everything. But what is everything? Maybe a philosopher said. So trying to get better with my mental health, my OCD, which was staring at people, staring at flesh, staring at arms, staring at if you had a receding hairline, if you had bad teeth, if you had a bad eye, if, and in particular with women, staring at the chest area, and with men, staring at the genital area. So staring was my thing, and doing it again and doing it again and doing it again. But the more I talk about it, the easier it becomes. So I've started to talk about it this year to relieve myself of the fear and the pressure and the pain. So I went to see an alternative therapist, and I had to check that she was okay with LGBT issues, with me being a lesbian, and she was okay with me being black, because in the Middle East, you know, you have to know who you're dealing with and what their agenda is as well. And so she was German raised, I think, but born elsewhere, but German raised. So she was quite open-minded. And her therapy was good, but it didn't get to the root of the problem. So she dealt with chakras and energy and hypnotherapy. And during one of the sessions, I was saying to her that I didn't feel like I could continue in Dubai. It wasn't the place for me. It didn't kind of bring me joy. There wasn't enough nature. And I said, for some reason, Colombia's calling me. And she basically was very adamant, and rightly so, that if you think that you want to go there, then you can't just go at the end of your contract. You have to go there and check it out to see whether you actually like it or not. And I'd never done that before, never thought about doing that. And even less so living in Dubai, which is in the Middle East, to then go to Colombia, which is in South America. So I took her advice, I took Sarah's advice, and I booked a flight to go to Colombia. And we're talking about traveling from the Middle East to South America during the Christmas and New Year period. I think my flight probably cost about £1,000, because I booked it a month before I flew, and I was traveling over the Christmas and New Year period and coming back right at the start of the school year. So I went to Colombia, and immediately fell in love with the place. It's a special place. Bogota, Cartagena, and I felt at home in Cartagena because there were plenty of black people about. It was quite relaxed. It reminded me of times I'd been to Jamaica or Cuba. I'd also been to Cuba before. And the food that they ate, so rice and coconut rice and maybe peas or raisins, bit different, but still, and fried fish and fried green bananas and things like that, which are dishes that are familiar to me. So I also went to the Cali Festival, and there was so much going on in Cali, but my anxiety was still an issue, my OCD was still an issue. So I didn't live it up at the Salsa Festival, the Cali Festival, the Salsa Festival. I went to a few events. I went to a class during the day at a dance school, and I went out to a club with the owner of the hostel that I was staying in, and that was about it. But I did leave Colombia feeling like it was the right place, it was the next step. And I didn't realise that when I booked my return flight back to Dubai, there was a time difference, and that resulted in me rocking up to Dubai on the day that school was due to start, I think the 6th of January 2016. And all I was able to do was go home, put my suitcases down, and then go to work. So that was after, like, a 16-hour flight or something like that from Colombia, from Bogota, via, I can't remember where, via Europe in some way, shape or form. And I was exhausted that day, but glad I did it and made that decision that Colombia was going to be my next step. So overall, I would say that Dubai was a good experience for me. But things like seeking support when you have problems. So Sarah was one therapist that I saw, and I was also seeing another therapist at a different time, and she was a black woman in the UK. I can't remember her name, but we used to have our sessions via Skype, and because of the paranoia, I was having these sessions and feeling like somebody standing at the door listening, or somebody could burst in at any moment, or anything could happen at any moment in time because of the conversation that we were having. So it was a therapy session to get better that was creating more anxiety. Go figure. One of the things that I'm proud of that I did whilst I was in Dubai was a fundraising activity for one of the labour camps. So if you don't know what a labour camp is, it's a little village that's overpopulated with men in this occasion, in this particular labour camp. And they all live in shared rooms, and there are maybe in a small room 6 beds, so 3 bunk beds, and they don't have any privacy, they don't have very much space, the conditions are terrible, it's squalid accommodation, there's very little space to dry their clothes, to do, you know, the basics. And I managed to raise some money at school and liaise with the school, with the person in the school who normally did fundraising activities during Ramadan, and contacted the local restaurant. They agreed to produce 100 meals at whatever cost it was, I can't remember. And I raised additional money from the school and then bought other things. And so took all of these goods to the labour camp as we'd arranged and distributed 100 meals and the extra things. And it was a good experience, but it was so sad because the 100 meals wasn't even a drop in the ocean in terms of the number of people that needed to be helped. Just I need to say that the people who live in these labour camps live in terrible conditions. Quite often their passports are taken away from them. They have very little rights. The work that they do is illegal. And when I say illegal, I mean the government says it's 40 degrees outside, so it's illegal to work outside in these conditions because of the temperature, but people still have to work outside and do construction work and so on. Or if they have to work outside, then they should have protective clothing. That's not the case. These people have got very little rights. They're not paid regularly, not paid on time. Their pay is deducted sometimes, and some people hang themselves as a form of protest because there's nothing else that they can do. There's nowhere else that they can go. Once you're in a foreign country without this, you know, without financial resources to do what you need to do, and once you're from a particular country, i.e. Pakistan or India, for example, which is where a lot of the migrant workers were from, and somebody's got your passport, there's nowhere to go, there's nothing to do, there's no help available, and the laws of the land work in a particular way that you have to be very careful about what you say and who you say it to. So the Labour camp fundraising activity was a great experience. The department that I worked in was a lovely experience as well, incredible experience, never to be repeated. Never say never, but it would be hard to repeat, let's just say that. The lesbian friends that I made out there, grateful for them, and we're still in contact now. The qualifications that I did, the yoga qualifications, have helped me to improve my practice, to move from being a beginner. Dubai overall was a good experience. I managed to walk away with some savings. I managed to walk away with the qualifications. I was able to travel. I knew where the next chapter was going to be in my life and what I wanted to do. And I walked away learning a little bit more about another part of the world. Dubai might not be for everybody. There's not a lot of nature there, but they are working on it. But there's a lot of development. There are lots of opportunities. You're working with the creme de la creme of the world. And when I say that, not necessarily in the school that I worked in, definitely not, but as a city, you're working with people who are highly qualified, because there's no sitting in your home on your arse in Dubai on benefits waiting for the government to pay you out. That shit doesn't go down there. You're there to produce for the society. And if you can't produce, then there's no space for you. Or if your household is not sponsoring you, there's no space for you. So you're with people that are highly efficient, that are all contributing to society, and that have got big dreams and big aspirations. And you don't find that in most places, because you'll find, you know, a level of people that are complacent, that are happy, that are retired, that are not working, that are young, different things, got kids, benefits. None of that is in Dubai. So that's a really good experience, but maybe not to be repeated for me. I'm grateful for the time that I spent out there, for the things that I learnt, for the way in which I walked away from the place. I walked away with a little bit of savings in my pocket, but I do know people are out there, teachers, who are living on debt, because as a teacher the salary is not great, and as I said before, if you're single, it's not a great situation. But if you only work 200 days a year, then that means you've got 165 days that are free. What do you do when you're free and you live in a country where it's 40 degrees? You get out of that country and you travel. Traveling equals spending money and doing things that maybe your pocket can't afford, but trying to keep up with the Joneses. So, you know, I was also aware of people getting into debt out there, and it's easily done because credit's easily offered. Once you've got a job, here's a credit card, go. So be careful of what you do. Be careful of why you do what you do. If things aren't working out, change, switch it up. Develop yourself, develop your skills. Dubai was an initially difficult transition, but it turned out to be a lovely journey and great people. And I thank all of those people that used to sit around the dinner table in the staff room, and we used to share bread and bus jokes. Big up, big up, big up to those people. That's it from the Colombian Catwoman today. Over and out. Don't forget to subscribe, click like, and click share. Take care, guys. Bye-bye, world. Peace out.